You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
Did you own the MC Hammer parachute pants when you were a young man?
If you don't believe me, I don't even care. I don't need a picture for it. I like the memory.
Giles Barnes has parachute pants, though. I think they're just catching on in Europe. Two-year-old thing.
So that's like reverse buyer's remorse.
Yeah, yeah.
That's,
I mean,
this is 11th, cheated 11th dimension chess right here,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, cheated
impressed.
A little bit, yep.
That's good radio right there, guys.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time Radio on MLSsoccer.com and SiriusXM FC Channel 85. I am Andrew Wiebe here in the studio with my guy, Dave Goss. Out in the octagon, of course, Matt the Armchair Analyst Doyle. This is our second podcast of the day. I hope you tuned in to the special ahead of U.S.-Ecuador. Of course, because of the timing of this show on Thursdays when we record on Sirius, you might be listening on Friday. We're not able to really discuss that one unless you wanted us to stay here until about, what, 2 in the morning? Which I know, Dave, you're not willing to do that, man. You know?
I am willing to do it. I am 100% willing to do it. Yeah.
You're throwing that out there?
Yeah.
You're putting it out there?
Yeah.
You're willing to go 110%?
Yeah.
Make sacrifices, become a better professional?
Well, I would probably bring the show to Smithfield and do it from the bar, but
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually a pretty good idea.
Right? Yeah. From the base of the bar.
Here, with a Heineken in our left hand and our notes in our right.
Wow, that a way to stay on brand, Wiebe.
I know, dude. Really impressive right there. You guys are on point.
I hesitated a little bit, and then I turned it right back around and got to it. We got a big show for you today, even though we don't have any U.S. national team talk. That will come on Monday or perhaps on Friday if we're able to drag Dave into the office after his Smithfield escapades. But we are going to talk about MLS. We're going to talk about U.S. Open Cup, and that's because the Open Cup hit the fourth round this week. MLS teams came in. They came. They saw. They dominated, all except for three, which fell out of the competition. We'll talk about them and some drama. Always drama in the U.S. Open Cup. Remember, this was the stage last year when Clint Dempsey ripped up a notebook and threw it in the air and is still suspended from the competition, I believe. Then we'll talk MLS because it comes back this weekend. And we're going to revisit, Dave, our predictions, which you combed through.
Yeah.
I watched you do it.
I laughed out loud
you
multiple
laughed
times.
You laughed a lot.
And well, I've got some heat coming your way.
Looking forward to it.
Some good stuff. That good heat. So we'll talk about that, and we'll look ahead to the rest of the season. What are the big storylines? What's going to make the difference for these teams as they search for a playoff spot, maybe the Supporters Shield, maybe CONCACAF Champions League? All that and more is coming. Let's start with Open Cup, and I mentioned it. MLS dominated in this thing. 17 teams came in, 14 teams moved on. The only three to go down, San Jose fell to the Timbers 2-0. That was the only MLS-on-MLS matchup in the fourth round. New York City FC lost to the Cosmos, who continue to take scalps, MLS scalps, here in New York. Dave was at that game. We'll have you relive the experience here in one second. And then DC fell to Fort Lauderdale, I believe, in penalties, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah, so they are out with that one. But the majority of the bracket is MLS, and they're in good positions to go ahead and win this thing again. Let's start with that Cosmos game. Let's start in New York because of our inherent bias here that everyone knows about. It was at Fordham. It was a 1-0 win for the Cosmos. Danny Sestella.
You said his name about as well as the PA announcer.
Oh, really? Sestella? Oh, man. Now I'm just.
Zatella.
Zatella?
It's not that complicated.
Zatella.
It looks worse than it is.
Okay. All right. Take us behind the scenes. What was this like?
It was okay, I guess. We went out there. It was farther away than I thought it was going to be. There was like a childish like fight outside the stadium in front of us. Guys hanging outside of school buses, other people chasing them around. So that was miserable.
How many times do we have to say it? Stop.
Yeah.
Be adults.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was miserable. Then we got in the stadium, and you have a great view because you're right on top of it because it's like 7,000, 6,000 people. It's one side, and then there's the field, and there's a baseball diamond in the corner, so everyone still feels comfortable about their surroundings. And it felt like a tight field.
They said it was bigger, though, than Yankee Stadium.
It didn't feel that way. It felt shorter.
Okay.
It may have been wider. They said it was not shorter. So I'm wrong, but it felt that way.
Okay.
Maybe
that's Dom Kinnear, not shorter, though.
Right.
Maybe they're juicing those numbers a little bit.
Diskerud with the armband on, a midfield of Mehdi Bellucci, Mikey Lopez, a mixed Diskerud that I think would be phenomenal 5 years ago in the projection pools or something like that. There wasn't that much there. The Cosmos looked decent on the ball. New York had most of the ball. They tried to move it and break down, and there's just not enough space to do it. They tried to play out the back, and Jefferson Mena tripped over his own feet a couple times. This isn't anything you've not heard before, because right. what I'm saying is exactly what happens at Yankee Stadium. Mm-hmm. And eventually, they turn the ball over in midfield. Houston Dynamo All-Star Adam Moffitt picks it up, plays it out wide, cross comes in, clip to the far post, 87th minute, Danny Zitella heads it home. And that was it at that point. But it was not impressively played. And
can I read a little bit of Patrick Vieira's comments after the game?
Yeah. You may.
You can lose any kind of game. You can lose against the Red Bulls. You can lose against the Cosmos. You can lose against Philadelphia. You can lose against any team in football. I think if you play the way we perform, you will lose against any team.
Oh.
Yeah, no Villa, no Pirlo, no Matarita. Jason Hernandez came off the bench, which is a huge offensive substitution to make.
What do we think? What do you think? Where do you think Patrick Vieira's mind is right now?
I think
he did take a lot of it onto himself. He said, I made a mistake when I made the decision to rest so many players, and I'm the first responsible for the performance of the players. So I think he's not throwing the guys under the bus, but this team needs a wake-up call. They need something internal in terms of accountability that has been missing since the team was founded. And this is the same thing Jason Christ talked about last year. I think this season is just going to keep getting worse for NYCFC. I really do.
I think missing is a misnomer then there, right? It just was never there.
Yeah,
it just
correct.
Never
yeah.
existed. So they don't have a very big break here. They're right back at it on Saturday, 1 p.m. at Yankee Stadium against the Union. So maybe Vieira, when he says you can lose to the Union when you right. play like this, maybe they will do that. The Union winners on this night, a dramatic finish. Our guy, Bobby Warshaw, with a huge clutch goal, 90+1, 2-2. Harrisburg doing their thing. Maybe an upset is coming. And then Ronald Aalborg spoils it, 90+3. 2 minutes later, free kick, Philly win, and move on. Afterwards, Bobby tweeted that he is working on a book of just his stream of conscious thoughts after terrible losses on the bus. So that's a real – that's actually, some pick-me-up literature that you can expect
so
in the coming
years.
We
had him on last week, and then I went and broadcast the game, and they lost 1-0. And he said to me here in the studio, we're going to outplay them, and we're going to lose 1-0. And I saw him in the tunnel, and we talked. And it was interesting to get a player who wasn't, you know, I wasn't recording him. So
right
after a game, though, exactly what he felt and how he saw it from the field mm-hmm. compared to how I saw it from the booth was actually really interesting. Mm. So, yeah, that was
good
cool.
job not saying anything because that's definitely off the record. Can't say that stuff. But the controversy here, LA Galaxy 4-1 winners over La Máquina. But they get ahead in extra time via a goal off a free kick that La Máquina are arguing. A player is down. Baje Husidic, I believe, steps over the ball. They don't ask for the wall. Apparently, the LA Galaxy don't. So they can play it, and he plays it to Daniel Sears, who's just standing in the box. Goal. La Máquina freaks out.
You know Daniel Sears is going to bury that, too, by
yeah.
the way.
Yeah, Daniel Sears in 18 is – I mean, that's a guarantee. You put all your money on that. We've got an email here from Kyle. Guys, I want your take on this situation in Carson. Villarreal was the player who went down, by the way. So Kyle is saying La Máquina is trying to help him up. I think that's – not sure that's the way I would portray it. Pull him up, get him off the ground, scold him might be the way that I would put it. Baje Husidic feeds to – oh, no, it was Romney, Dave Romney. Sorry, both those guys, money in the box. Money in the box. Technically legal, he asks. Confusing, uncool. What do we make of it? I think it's legal. I don't think there's yeah. anything wrong with it. Is it technically uncool, Doyle?
Yeah, I thought it sucked. It's the type of goal you expect to see in CONCACAF Champions League, and you know, scored against an MLS team, and fans on Twitter would just go berserk. And I doubt the Galaxy are overly proud of it, but they don't care.
Let's just
want to win,
man.
Like these guys are all hyper competitive athletes. What they care about is the numbers on the scoreboard at the end of the game, and that's what they got.
Let me ask this question: if this was the quarterfinal of the CCL and they scored that goal in Club America, would everyone's comments be, wow, they were so turned on that they recognized that situation and made the right
play. That's the ruthlessness that MLS teams need in CONCACAF to win these games. Yeah, there's two sides of it, certainly. And I think a lot of that comes with kind of the inherent roles being played. When you're the underdog, you always want to see it through those glasses, right? You always want to see it as, we were smarter than you, we were more resourceful than you, we made this happen. Whereas if it's the, you know, the favorite, which the Galaxy were, the giant in this case, and you stomp on somebody's throat in a time of weakness and you know, so on, then they're the villain. But ultimately, the Galaxy are moving on. If we run down the list of results here, Colorado over Colorado Springs, they move on. Real Salt Lake got it done in PKs against Wilmington. Portland, as I said, on to the next round. Orlando go to Jacksonville under the shadow of tragedy and win 1-0. Congratulations to them. You should follow everything that's going on with that club and that city right now. We gave a shout-out to them. It's worth giving it again. And Orlando City really getting involved with the community to help deal with what is a horrific situation down there. The Crew, 4-0 winners, although some bad news. Federico Higuain is out for 5 to 7 weeks with a groin injury, a hernia problem. Rochester hosting the Red Bulls. They lose. Red Bulls 1-0. DC United, as I said, out in PKs. The Railhawks lose late to New England. Minnesota lose late to Sporting Kansas City. Chicago.
They should have won that game, by the way. Minnesota were the better team against Sporting KC.
Mm-hmm. That Chilean young DP came in and got the goal at the end. I think Sporting KC fans, at least my roommate, were nibbling on their stubs, their fingernails, as that game went on. Really did not want to lose that game. Houston move on, beat San Antonio, and Seattle. 2-0 winners against Kitsap Pumas. Let's take it out a little bit wider, guys, because this is what always happens when the U.S. Open Cup comes back. People want it to be bigger. They want it to be something really special, and it never seems like it really gets the traction that it deserves in the U.S. We always have the same conversation. How do you make it better? I'm going to take a little bit of a step back for this one, and since it's almost all MLS teams that have moved on, I mean, you really can put safe money on MLS team winning this. I want to know, is it bad for the competition that MLS teams, once they enter, dominate it so much?
I don't think it's bad because, I mean, it's still at this point, MLS teams tend to draw the best crowds. And if you want more publicity for the tournament and you want to get sponsors for the tournament, then that's probably the best way of going about it. It does make it, I think, less dramatic. I still remember a couple of years back when I think Richmond made it all the way to the semifinals, and that was just a fantastic run. And I remember way back in 99 when Rochester won it, which is the last lower division team to win it. But I think it's part of where soccer in America is right now. MLS teams have been investing in the homegrown program and academies for the last 10 years. And as a result, they have really legitimate depth for these games. USL and NASL haven't even existed in their current state for 5 years. So of course they're going to struggle against MLS teams. I think as long as it's growing, which it clearly is, as long as it's growing, I am happy. And I think we just check in 5 years and see, okay, is there something systemic or a root cause that we really need to look at in order to make it more competitive?
We had this conversation before we came in here, and I think that MLS has to grow to become a larger Goliath for you to have a better David versus Goliath moment and have the good underdogs. I do think that games have to happen on weekends, and you were saying, well, where do you fit it in? And maybe it's the fact that sometimes MLS plays on FIFA breaks. Maybe U.S. Open Cups on weekends during FIFA breaks. And you acknowledge that some of our stars won't be there because they're away. But we can still field a stronger team that's more prepared for this game. So it could have been last weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you need to deal with USL and NASL as well. They have to be on board for it as well because they were still playing through the Copa break. But maybe you look at breaks in the calendar and you say, okay, rather than playing a Wednesday game.
Get a little
game,
bit creative, you're
yeah,
saying.
Yeah. Rather than playing a Wednesday game, that's an opportunity to play this game. It won't be ideal, but at least fans can come out. At least people have the time to enjoy it.
I do.
Let me just offer a quick counterpoint to that. One of the great things about supporting MLS back in the day was the idea that we're in this stupid little club of nerds together, and the whole wider world doesn't know about us. That has changed a lot in the last 6-7 years, especially. MLS has a larger profile, more interest, and it doesn't feel like it's this small, exclusive little club. Open Cup games still feel like that. Open Cup games still exist basically for the hardcore fan base. And I wouldn't be in a huge hurry to get rid of that, because there is something charming and unique about these games played at the Maryland Soccerplex or the Fordham, you know, or the Fordham Field or Belson Stadium in Queens, that I will at least be a little bit sad when those games are gone.
Hipster Open Cup, says Matt Doyle. Keep it just for us. Nobody else can have this. This is ours, and you shouldn't say it's cool.
We knew it before it was big.
Get that mainstream media coverage away from the U.S. Open Cup. Look, it's going to be an exciting rest of the tournament. I know we're always trying to make it better, but it still is a whole lot of fun. Some matchups to look out for here. The Cosmos are going to take on the Revolution. Red Bulls Union is a good one here in the round of 16. Fire Columbus, lots of regional interest there. Orlando, Fort Lauderdale, same old there. Seattle, RSL, that's two teams that have had a rivalry in the past, had some good games. We'll see them go at it. Portland, L.A., same. Dallas Rapids, hey, Oscar Pareja, maybe they'll have it in Colorado. We'll see how he's received. And then Houston and Sporting Kansas City, that old rivalry there from, well, they were in the East and now they're in the West, from all over the place. So, look, it's going to be a lot of fun. Let us know what you think. How would you improve it? How did you experience Tuesday and Wednesday night? What do you think about the tournament in general? We want to know about it at Extra Time Radio, extratime@mlssoccer.com. When we come back, MLS is back, and we've got lots to talk about.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime@mlssoccer.com or tweet at Extra Time Radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
More poetry than song, says Matt Doyle. We are back on Extra Time Radio, as always, with the guys. You know who it is, Doyle, Goss, Weeby. We are here to talk MLS because the league is back. You had 2 weeks to hang out and watch Copa, maybe a little Euros, get your U.S. Open Cup action on. But MLS is rolling back through, and it is time to revisit some potentially embarrassing things that we might have said, Dave. I'm going to throw it to you.
Yeah,
because I don't want to, you know, I didn't go back and listen to this, so I frankly don't really remember some of the things I predicted, which is a great sign for my expert status here.
Also shows how much thought you put into some of these things. well, let's start big.
Let's see if Doyle remembers right. them too. Like, let's test is here. Let's see what we were predicted and how it worked out.
Let's start big. Let's start with Golden Boot. Okay.
Okay.
I think that's the biggest award and MVP.
Yeah. Okay.
So Doyle, Golden who do you Boot. Think you picked for Golden Boot?
I think I picked Wando.
Do you really?
I do. I don't remember, though.
You absolutely did not pick Wando.
Okay, hold on. Hold on. Let me get mine in there. I'm going to say that I went with Kai because I said he was also going to be MVP now that I think about it.
Yes, you did.
Yes.
You said Kai Kamara thrives on slights. not a slight, not including not being allowed to take PKs.
Was that a direct quote?
Yes, that was a direct quote.
No,
I have a feeling here.
Yes, I have a feeling.
Yeah. I said David Villa, so
okay,
none of us are probably.
I thought you think David Villa. You're not in a bad place with David Villa.
Unless Patrick Vieira just, you know, nukes the whole thing and there's no team to play.
Yeah, well, he's at the top of the charts now. Who did Doyle say? We never got that
Fernando
part.
Fernando Adi. Which I thought was a solid pick.
Yeah, he's at 8. That's actually a good pick, too.
And he's been hurt, so we're okay, and Andrew Wiebe is a failure.
I don't know, dude. The Revs in the second half of the season are just – Kai's going to start banging him
so
in.
So MVP.
I have a feeling.
So MVP.
He thrives on slights.
He thrives on slights. MVP, we already know. You said
yeah,
Kai,
said
which
Kai.
Was a great double to go with.
Yeah.
Doyle, who do you think you said?
For MVP?
Yeah.
I think I said Mauro Diaz.
You did. You said 11 goals, 18 assists, and he will make a run at 20 assists.
He's got 5 assists so far and 2 goals.
So he's on his way.
So he might get there. Maybe Sasha Kleshin was the name he was looking for yeah. 18 assists.
Maybe that's what it was. And I said Giovinco. So that was just the obvious thing to say.
Okay.
So.
Who do we think actually might get the Golden Boot and MVP? I mean, now that we're actually looking back. And
well, I'm going to stick with Villa because
yeah,
he's on
good,
top of the list.
Call.
There's no reason not
Doyle,
to.
Are you sticking with your guns or are you switching this up?
I guess I'll have to stick with my guns. I think Gotti could do it. if I were to have to put money on it, I think I would probably go with Wando, though.
Yeah, he's going to get 10. He's definitely going to get 10.
I didn't even put that down.
We're not even revisiting
that. Yeah,
those down. It's been revisited so many times. It's like, you know, it's in-laws. Just go away. Just don't ever come back.
So let's jump to Supporter Shield. I think this is the one Doyle's been looking forward to for quite a while. Andrew, who do you think you picked?
I'm pretty sure that if I picked Kai for MVP and for Golden Boot, that I went.
You're starting to see the theme.
I went triple down on Columbus Crew SC, and I probably said something about how good their locker room was and how they were so together,
such a cohesive unit.
Did I say that?
No, I don't know.
Oh boy. Oh, so yeah, I said Crew SC. I'm sure
you said Columbus. Doyle, I think you can guess who you said.
I 100% said FC Dallas. 100%.
Yeah, sure. But I think I had the quote that you said about New England. Added depth defensively, Kofi brings stability and a lot of what Jermaine Jones brought to the team.
Do you have the clip? You have the clip of me saying that?
Pictures
because if you don't have the clip, we can't verify this.
Pictures are it didn't happen. And what a coincidence. Our archives have been purged.
I am absolutely certain right now that I picked FC Dallas. Absolutely certain.
I think you should feel good about that. I'm pretty sure he did.
What a coincidence. I also picked FC Dallas. No, I actually did.
I know. I wasn't doubting you. I was like a doubtful O.
Those are our Shield picks.
Hold on. Let's actually examine. FC Dallas, you guys are good to go.
Right.
Who do we think has a legitimate shot other than the Rapids? Because you have the Rapids and FC Dallas both at 28, and then you're kind of looking down the line here. And a reminder here, we are only 14 to 16 games in the season.
And
so there are about 20 games
left
for most teams.
There's also that classic MLS issue where like some teams have played 17 and others have played 13.
Right.
Which is always fun to deal with.
Who else has a chance here? I think the Impact have played 13. They might be able to – they're in the East. Maybe they can jump in there.
And I think Toronto as well.
Yeah, Toronto's got 13. Anybody out west, Doyle, that you'd throw in the conversation? I mean, RSL maybe? Make some moves in the
– LA Galaxy.
Yeah. I think RSL are a year away. I think the Galaxy could do it if and when they get their DPs back and at full health and all ready to go and on the same page. They looked pretty good for a couple of weeks there before Cesarda's left. The other team I think is Philadelphia, and you mentioned a guy, Roland Alberg, who'd been lighting it up in the Open Cup, and if he starts scoring goals out of midfield and giving them what they thought they were going to get at the start of the season, that's a team that could surprise.
So we did Supporter Shield. Let's talk MLS Cup then, because actually, surprisingly, we didn't.
We had pretty good ones?
Well, no, we didn't totally
pick the
same
teams. I know I didn't go
teams.
Columbus Crew again. I feel like there's no way
what do you
I would
think
do
you
that.
Picked for MLS Cup?
I think I probably followed in your guys' coattails and heard you say FC Dallas, and then I said FC Dallas would do it, if I had to guess. Am I right? You're
not
going to give this up?
You picked the Columbus Crew
SC
over FC Dallas.
Oh, my God. Columbus Crew fans.
You doubled
I'm
down.
I'm so sorry.
So like, hard.
That, just the epic, like, both Wando and Crew jinx. The Wando one, it's gotten a lot of play.
Yeah.
This Crew one has just gone under the radar.
Yeah. Doyle, what do you think you picked?
The Vancouver Whitecaps.
Yeah. Mm. Over?
Yeah. Red Bulls.
Nope. Over
Toronto FC.
Over Weeby's favorite
Columbus
team.
Columbus Crew SC.
He then proceeded to call them this decade's New England Revolution. So not only did he give them that slight, but then they're not even that good this year.
Oh, man.
And as much as like I want this to just be purely a I told you so segment.
I was going to say, I feel like you've escaped.
Yeah, because I make good picks.
You've gone unscathed.
Because I make good picks, man. Because I'm Gostradamus when I'm looking at things.
Gostradamus. I've forgotten about that moniker.
Yeah, good. I'm glad. But here's my crowning jewel, I guess.
Oh.
MLS Cup, I picked the Seattle Sounders over Toronto FC.
Ooh, you went big money, man.
I did. I thought
that's the brown jewel on top of the crown.
I thought the Vets would make the run. Doyle, it's still going to happen, right? Because they're going to get their number 10.
I mean, Jefferson Montero and Antonio Valencia are clearly going to lead the Sounders to MLS Cup this year.
I would love to see that.
That would be
but
sweet.
Let's jump back on me being more right than you guys. Let's go Defender of the Year. Weeby, who'd you pick?
Probably Michael Parkhurst if my Columbus Crew SC side is going that way.
You picked Harrison Hoffel. Tyson Wall.
Tyson Wall. Yeah, I went Wall. You thought about Great Wall.
Yeah.
Tyson Wall.
You're thinking about this a lot more this time than he did last time.
Kendall Waston, I would guess.
And Doyle, do you know who you went with?
I'm going to guess I went with Kendall Waston as well.
You did. Your only question mark about him was how many games he'd miss for Copa Centenario. Which I think the question should have been, how many red cards is he going to get?
Yeah, that's kind of been the question.
I mean, how many red cards has he gotten this year? Is it one or two?
Oh, good question. Well, it's at least one in Copa Centenario alone. So
he could have just left the competition.
Yeah, who'd you pick? I'll go find it. Who'd you pick?
I picked Lawrence Simon, who's currently starting
for Belgium. That's a really safe pick.
But that Javinko is a super safe pick.
Yeah, it was. He's got two red cards and five yellows and 11 starts this season. So
we were
yikes.
we clearly we know what your Eastern Conference winner is going to be, and
wait. We have to predict the real winner of the year.
I think I would have said if Matt Hedges had stayed healthy, he had a chance at it this year. Although it's his profile, it was going to be hard to build him up into that. I mean, the Rapids don't really have a guy.
Right, that's the and I'm thinking Philly as well, but they don't have one guy unless you think Keegan Rosenberry is going to be up for that as well.
No chance. No way. Oh, man, I think Laurent Simon's got another good call.
Sorry, I just got confused. Joel, you know how like sometimes in MVP voting it's like absence of a guy and then him coming back? What if Aurelian Collins, like, what if they go on
that
a run?
That is exactly who I was thinking of. The Red Bulls had one shutout in their first nine games, and in the five MLS games since Collins has been there, they have three. And I think they're 4-1-1 across all competitions since he arrived with four shutouts. I mean, he has changed their season.
So, we need to get him on the show. He's in New York. We need to get him on the show. I see him on Instagram.
You guys need to go shopping with him because I'll tell you what, neither of you guys has any style.
I agree.
And he just oozes style. He needs to bring you guys down to Soho.
This polo shirt I have on here has got wide horizontal stripes.
You're just embarrassing yourself now, Weeby. That's just painful to listen to.
I think we do a combo. I think we do ETR at the opera, ETR at the ballet. We used to do ETR at the movies where Simon would go to a movie and completely just not understand what was going on in front of him. I think it's probably the same description for ETR at the opera. Although Definitely. You're quite cultured.
Yeah, I have no idea about opera.
Okay.
Though.
Okay.
US Open Cup, since we're here right now and we just talked about it, me and Weeby got bailed out yesterday because we both picked SKC.
Ooh.
Doyle, do you know who you picked?
Did I pick the Union?
No. Similar idea, though. You picked a team that you said was a club that was taking it seriously.
RSL.
No.
Okay, I give up.
Yeah, you got one more guess.
You picked New York Red Bulls.
Okay.
Still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a puncher's chance, and they have some depth. So
Gonzalo Verón gets hot here. Maybe? No? Yeah, maybe?
Breaks out a couple more stepovers.
Yeah. Oh,
I don't know if that's...
He's stepping his way over to the MLS. No, I don't know
if that's where you want to go. Let's go breakout player, because I thought this was an interesting one.
Player. Who would I have said for this? Oh, man. You got it thought from you, Doyle? I'm blanking on who I might have said.
I think I picked Gershon Kofi.
No.
No.
You're drinking the Kofi. That was some strong Kofi. That was...
Yeah, you were going to pick Revs on a supporter shield winning, so he had to win it.
He had to go with the Kofi. Breakout player.
Daryl, I'll give you a clue. It's an American player that you are very, very intrigued by.
I don't know, Doyle. Man.
Oh, I know who it is.
Who is it?
Patty Mullins. No?
No.
Tommy Mack?
No. That would have been a good one, though. That would have been out of left field.
Yeah,
spot
that would
on.
Have been a really good one.
No, he was traded in the offseason. And Doyle thought that he'd go to a team where he'd have guys that could finish around him the things
Eric
that he
Schick.
Could. Yep. And it looked
started,
that way.
He started out hot. Yeah. Got, I think, three or four assists in the first month, but he has been a non-entity since about mid-April.
Speaking of starting out hot and being a non-entity,
who did
your
I pick,
pick
yeah, who
I'll
was
give
it?
You a clue, is a striker that moved within MLS.
A striker, Jack Mack? No. That moved within Quincy was already there. Kakuta, no.
I'm watching the ground just fall from under you. You have no idea.
End this misery, guys. Yeah, who it, was it?
Tell us.
Maximilian Urruti.
Urruti, yeah. Because I thought it was going to be Argentine, him and Mauro. I think I was probably playing off of Doyle's MVP pick, and I was like, if he gets MVP, somebody's got to score those goals.
That's true. He did start hot, though.
He did. He's still got a chance. Give him some time.
Okay.
Give him some time. Mauro's still got 13 assists to pick up, so
that's true.
A lot of those are going to go to Urruti, I think.
My big one was obviously Platatita.
Ooh.
Which I'm feeling pretty good about.
That's a good one. I like that one.
We were having a conversation before we got into the actual picks. When, remember, we were doing 5 minutes for each team with the tam-tam. And Doyle, I just had to read this quote.
Oh, yeah, with the tam-tam.
Yeah. Andrew on the tam-tam. Yeah. Doyle, I had to read this quote, okay? Mm-hmm. Abang is maybe not Kyle Larin good, but he's not far off. Matthew Doyle, circa 2016.
That is Cameroon International. Abang. Obviously, he maybe was a little more further away than I gave him credit for. Yeah, that's a bad call.
I just really enjoyed that, and I'm a big Anatole Abang fan as well. Last one, and then we'll let Andrew host the show once again. And my chaos.
I kind
of
like this.
My chaos can come to a close. Goalkeeper of the year.
Oh boy, I
want
to say.
Well, let's start with Doyle.
Yeah, what'd you say, Doyle?
I think I probably chose Raimondo.
You did choose Raimondo. How do you feel about that pick right now?
I feel okay. I think David Bingham has been the best goalkeeper this year, but Raimondo, like, not by a ton. And I think there's going to be a movement among the voters to finally give it to Raimondo because he's still never won one, which just blows my mind.
But yeah, Andre crazy. Blake was not just mentioned.
That's true. Wow. I can't believe I whiffed on Andre Blake. He's been, Bingham and Blake are the two guys who have probably been the best this year, but not by a ton over Raimondo. So I'm still keeping my money on the wall of the Wasatch.
So
I'm so hopeful that I said Andre Blake. I don't think I did.
So I said David Oestead.
Okay.
Which
that,
I mean,
that based track record, you had a good call there.
But not based on the way the season's going.
No, not so far.
Although if they win MLS Cup, like Doyle said, then maybe.
Well, you got a chance. Okay. Yeah.
Do you not remember who you said?
No. Just tell me. What did I do?
You went hipster hard.
Hipster hard. I said Tyler Derrick.
You said Tyler Derrick.
I did say Tyler Derrick.
Because someone in this office who's a goalkeeper liked him once.
It was a very convincing comment, and I bought into it, and I had, from afar I had liked him. There was a lot of talk of his footwork and agility and decision-making. And
he's been pretty good at picking up the ball from the net and kicking it back to midfield.
Uh-huh. He has done that. I think it was my mistake to pick a goalkeeper on the Dynamo. Ultimately, that was my mistake, but I will not apologize for going hipster with my goalkeeper.
Doyle, how do you feel about the Tyler Derrick for goalkeeper of the year pick right now?
I think that was a pretty bad pick, but considering some of my choices, I don't think I'm in any position to criticize.
All right.
I think that's competitive with the Revs for Supporter Shield right now.
Yeah.
And Seattle for MLS Cup. Yeah. Actually, Seattle might be the worst.
I think Seattle's got a chance. That's a pretty good – I think they got a chance, man.
Still?
For MLS Cup?
Still?
Yeah, sure. Make the playoffs. You can make a run. J-Mo Smooth.
Wow.
We're going to figure out how many goals he scores here in the next segment.
Okay.
All right, let's get to our expert opinions that you should definitely respect and keep in mind.
After, after delegitimizing us, here comes more.
And here are our thoughts on the current state of MLS here. Look, it's going to be a great weekend. It's back. I know that it's been a nice little break for a lot of people, and you kind of get a chance to catch your breath and focus on some other soccer, but look, I think for a lot of us, and certainly if you're listening to this podcast, some of the meat and potatoes of your soccer consumption, especially in the summer, is MLS, and it is certainly a big weekend. Two games on Sunday, two national TV games, Sporting Kansas City hosting FC Dallas. It's a very good game. Sporting Kansas City desperate. They need to restart their season. What better way to do it than to pull off a win or a result of some kind at home against the team with tied for the most points in MLS in Dallas. That one's on ESPN, 5 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. To keep it rolling, New York Red Bulls hosting the Seattle Sounders, the future MLS Cup winners there, going to Red Bull Arena per Dave Goss here. Also a great game. We're not going to go preview the games. We might touch that later on if we get an opportunity, but we wanted to take another step back and kind of have a big picture conversation about the league and what's happening and what you should be paying attention to over the course of the rest of the season. I'm going to start, like I said, with Jordan Morris. Over under on goals for this year, because kind of somehow, Doyle, based on all the hype that we put into this guy before the season started, and it wasn't just us, it was everybody. It was Jurgen Klinsmann, it was fans, it was the whole kit and caboodle. He's still kind of going under the radar with what has been a really good, perhaps even historic season. 5 goals and 12 starts. He's got an assist. He's got 3 game winners. I mean, we don't see this from rookies very often, if ever.
No, only 4 rookies have ever scored double-digit goals. Only one American, Pat Noonan, did it 13 years ago, I want to say. And Morris has 20 games now to go get 5 more goals and join their ranks. And the record for game-winning goals by a rookie is 4. He's already at 3. If Kyle Larin hadn't set the world on fire last year, then I think there would be a greater appreciation for what Morris is doing for the Sounders, because without him, they're not only at the bottom of the West, but they're at the bottom of the Supporter Shield standings entirely. But he's been really good. He still has limitations. He still has no left foot, but you can see all that talent, and he's a piece that they'll build around for the next decade.
2 things. One, he's also done some of this. I mean, he got the winner in D.C. when Dempsey was gone, which makes it even bigger. 2, Doyle, set the number. What's the over-under?
I'm going to say 11.5, and I'm going to take the over.
Yeah.
I was going to say it's right between 10 and 12 there. I think 11.5 is a good number. I'm going to take the over on that as well, and I'm going to take it because he's not scoring bangers all the time. He's scrappy, and he's strong, and he gets in the right positions, and he's opportunistic, and he's shown a propensity to finish. And that hasn't just been in MLS. He has a track record of that. U.S. national team as well as Stanford. I think he gets more than 12. I'm going to throw him down for 14.
Yeah, I'm going to say 12, so I'm right there with you, but not going 14.
That's a great season, man. That's a really, really impressive season. And also the thing that must be pointed out here, Kyle Larin was the focal point of that Orlando City attack. I mean, the service all went into him, and he made it his business to get on the end of it and have some really, really nice finishes. Jordan Morris isn't really that striker for the Sounders, so I think you have to take their goal-scoring numbers with a grain of salt and really consider positioning for those guys. Once again, the Sounders visiting the Red Bulls on Sunday. On FS1, you can go watch that one at 7:30 p.m.
Let me ask you guys, do you think Kleshchen gets 20?
20 assists? You don't think so, Dave? He just said no to me.
It's just one of those where it's like Wright Phillips will score 3 in 25 minutes and won't score another for a few weeks, and it's just tough because it's uneven.
Right.
You know, like Kleshchen has, what, 12 right now, 13?
I think it's 10.
10? But, like, they come in such bunches. You don't know when those bunches are going to be timed out and when they come. I think it's tough.
I think right now one of the things he's also benefiting from is Mike Grella's really, really good form, which, that's a no-duh sort of answer. But Kleshchen likes to drift left out into that left kind of channel area, and that's where Mike Grella's been making a living, and they're able to connect there. And, we saw last year both Grella and Sam were on basically for the whole year. Well, Lloyd Sam hasn't been on really this year, and Mike Grella, who knows? He could have a lull just like Bradley Wright Phillips. So if those things happen in front of him, you never know with Kleshchen. I think he's got a great chance to get it. Doyle, I mean, we'll leave this one to you, I guess. You can be the final say on this.
I think he comes close, but I think he ends up with 18 or 19. I mean, it's 20 is just a huge number, and there's a reason. Not even Landon Donovan, not even Steve Ralston, not even Marco Echeverry got there. It's still just El Pibe.
Just Pibe. He's the man, by the way. He was at Jay DeMeritt saw him this weekend at Copa Action. Ran over and got a picture with him. I mean, you have to get a picture with Pibe. You can play in World Cups. Still got to get that picture.
Well, on the lowest end of that totem pole, Jay DeMeritt shows up to your tailgate at U.S. national team tailgate. Turns out it's a pretty funny event.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, people got really excited about that.
I'm sure they
did. Him and Jimmy were hanging out, and it was like, yeah, those guys played in the World Cup, and I'm over on the side trying to juggle a ball. But it was pretty funny to watch people enjoy it.
I like that you just casually threw it in there that you were hanging out with a couple of World Cup veterans before the game, Gas Man.
That's what happens when you know cool people. And I don't know those people. I know people that know people.
There
like
you
that.
Go. People that know people. Let's talk team-wide here. We're kind of talking about who's going to hit the top of the marks as far as individuals. How about Eastern Western Conference, Rapids Union, right now the surprise leaders. Do they hold on? Why do they hold on? Why don't they hold on? What's the big theme for both the rest of the season?
For the Rapids, I think is, can that defense keep doing what it's done? Because all their success is built around their defense. And over the last couple of years, we've seen that it tends to be the teams that have the juggernaut offense that go on to win the Supporter Shield. I mean, think about Seattle a couple of years ago, the Red Bulls last year, and in 2013. The Rapids aren't really built like that. They're built more like last year's DC United team, which had a good first half of the season and then eventually kind of cooled out. For Philly, I think they're really good and really balanced, and they play every game they play just about is entertaining. But I don't think they have enough goal scoring.
Yeah.
Because CJ Sapong's not going to give you more than 11 or 12 at best from that center forward spot, which means they need their wingers to be in there getting people in the box. They need Tranquilo Barneta, whose movement is spectacular, but whose finishing is not great from the run of play. They need those guys to start producing, which is why I think it, you know, what happens with Allberg in the second half of the season is such a big deal.
Yeah, he's been a little bit anonymous. And I think you're talking about those wingers. I mean, Chris Pontius, he's been having an incredible season. I think everybody who pays attention to this league and who cares about, you know, the storylines here and the players and what's going on, you can't help but be really happy for the guy. But it still feels to me in this first season where he hasn't really been hurt yet and he's performing, it's like, please, 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 knock on wood, please don't let the other shoe drop here.
But when he says that, I think that the elements are there in terms of if you told me I needed my team's wingers to score goals, and then you told me that they had Latou, Barneta plays there sometimes, Ilsenio, and Roland Allberg on top of what you're already getting from Pontius, I'd feel pretty safe that over the course of a season, those guys are going to give me production.
They need Allberg to step up.
Yeah, 100%. But I think the opportunity is there for – it's tough to come to this league. And he got half or, you know, the first start of the season where he didn't play well to settle in. Now it's time for you to pick it up and do what we expect you to do. But you didn't have to hit the ground running.
Right. The other side of this is Maurice Adu. If he comes back, when he comes back, at what level, fitness, ability, sharpness will he be at? Because if you can add him to this team as a number six, that's huge. Both in transition to the attack, using Noguera as kind of like your fulcrum to move between, and as a shield for the defense, he is a potential best 11 player who just hasn't been able to show it for a long time now because of various injuries. So do we think
– and positional switches.
Yeah, positional switches have been big for him. Where do we think they'll finish? I'm going to say the Rapids finish third in the West. I just think that over the course of the season, it runs them down and some other teams get hot late on. I think the Union, I think they finish second. I think they're behind maybe the Red Bulls.
I'm going to flip that. I think that the Rapids stay a little bit higher. I think Gashi and Doyle have a good – second half to the season. And
speaking of a guy who got some time to settle in, and Gashi, who would have thought he would have had this time too?
Right. And I think then Jermaine Jones just has more time to do what he does.
There you go. Tim Howard may be doing his thing as well. Let's talk TFC, because they're the other half of Dave Goss's MLS Cup final here. Toronto FC, they're designated players. It's been a little bit off and on this season, Doyle. Like, you know, we kind of expected this to be the year that they all just kind of hit the gas at the same time and rolled out. And Giovinco's been pretty good, but not 2015 MVP campaign good. And he's really been by himself at times. Josie had a great start, wasn't scoring goals, was doing everything else, got hurt. Michael, of course, is Michael, but he's off with the U.S. now. How does TFC end this season? They started so well on the road. We were praising them. We were saying it was historic. And then they hit a little bit of a lull.
Yeah, I think that their roster is still under construction. They don't have a backup for Josie. They don't have speed out of the midfield. And I'm not sure that they have the exact type of central midfield depth that they want. But it's still a year-over-year progression for them. And I think it could also be a month-over-month progression. And I think that, look, if Josie Altidore comes back and is healthy in the second half of the season, I do think that this team could be as good as any team in the league. But that just remains such a huge if. And when your only backup for him is either Jordan Hamilton or playing Giovinco out of position, you don't really have a lot of good options. So, they have some more contracts they got to get off the books. And just keep the ship pointed in the right direction and hope that they can just keep building.
The Harry ship. Yeah. I was going to say, partially, I think TFC comes in on the lower end of the playoffs and makes a good run. In keeping my pick, I think that they're a playoff team because they're so good on the road. Because when they don't have to dominate possession in games, that they can, you know, keep a clean sheet, and Giovinco or Josie can get you something on the road. So I think they have that going for them. The other thing that I think might help is really this Amway Canadian Championship and seeing some of those kids play and seeing that a Chapman or a Hamilton or one of those kids can maybe step in and give you some minutes at the first team level and help you out, because it's a thin squad and we've always known that, and you're going to need those moments throughout the season.
A little bit of a Marky Delgado influence takes a step like he did last year for him. They certainly could use that at this point. Before we get out of here, here's the big question as we head into the summer, into the month of July soon. Transfer window coming up. Moves will be made. Which teams should be looking the hardest, Doyle? Who maybe is a team on the brink that could add something and take them to the upper echelon? Who's a team trying to stay there? Who's a team down in the dumps that needs something, anything? Who are you looking to make moves?
Well, I think there are three teams, and one is obviously the Sounders, who we have talked about ad nauseum because everybody knows their transfer deals, which is fine. The other is FC Dallas. No offense to your Rudy breakout season guy, but I don't think he is the type of guy who can be the number one forward option for a team that wants to win multiple titles. So I think they need to go out and find a target forward, not just the guy who runs the channels. And hopefully, you know, maybe they can pry Jaime IOV away from Godoy Cruz. He would be a very nice fit for that team. Or maybe it's Coy Kraft, the USU-20 international who's come through the Dallas Academy. But I do think they need to find that Blas Perez replacement. And the third is the New England Revolution. I don't think the Andrew Farrell experiment in central defense has really worked. I think he's a better right back than he is a central defender. They can't defend crosses. I think they need to go out and get their own Aurelien Collin for that back line.
Doyle, my question is, when you're watching Copa America, do you fully write out the fan fictions of when you see a player on one team and imagine him on an MLS roster, or do you just make a momentary thought about it, smile, and move on?
Why can't it be both? You know, it depends on what game I'm watching, Gasman. Come on now.
There you go. All fan fictions welcome in the mailbag. That will 100% give you an MLS Live subscription.
Fake Twitter account tweeted Paulo Guerrero to MLS I think LA or something.
Yes.
And me and Simon freaked out before Simon goes, fake account, fake account.
I was going to say, actually, I have about 10 or 15 fake accounts I tweet these from and just troll Simon and Doyle. So let us know any fan fiction, any beef with our predictions or thoughts on the second half of the year. Let us know. Tune into MLS this weekend. A bunch of games, all the coverage right here at MLSsoccer.com. When we come back, apparently we were wrong about parachute pants.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Back down, extra time radio. Couldn't resist that one. Into the mailbag. Parachute pants, Dave. What were we wrong about as we jam here in the studio?
Can I just throw out there real quick that if I did have to walk around and have a soundtrack to my life, like have a producer create it, I would be okay with Doyle choosing the music. Okay, Paul Feldman. I'm hoping Esquire, because he comes in hard on us. Every time I hear the new intro, I cringe. MC Hammer pants are not parachute pants. Parachute pants are the nylon pants from the 80s with all the zippers on them. Think Michael Jackson and throwing down some cardboard to do some backspins.
Okay.
Woo.
Yeah, we were wrong. But I thought it was more of a general parachute pants than it was like, yeah, I'm just trying to make excuses
what are you
here.
Doubling down now like it's Kai Kamara?
No. Okay. We'll take it. We'll take the constructive
Paul,
criticism.
Paul, I like that email.
We'll give you something. We have some MLS parachute pants back in the back in
I
the
would wear those.
Yeah, we don't actually know if we do, because we don't know what parachute pants actually are. Kyle Brogdon on Twitter, and he says, who will be Atlanta United's marquee signing during the summer transfer window? So do you think they will make one?
In the summer transfer window. I would expect them to. to go ahead and get it. The problem is, you don't have a coach still.
Right.
Like, what's the thrust? Doyle, it's got to be a Mexican, though. Andres Guardado is the name everybody's been talking about for a long time. But if it's not, maybe if not two Mexicans in those DP slots, no?
Yeah, I mean, it could be Vela. But I would assume Carlos or Andres Guardado is the odds-on favorite, and he makes sense. He's still in the prime of his career. He's obviously going to sell tickets and please the fan base. He's a great player, he's the type of guy in terms of leadership and work ethic that you know is just going to show up every day and teach the kids on that team how it's done. And they are, by the way, going to have a lot of kids on that team because they did just sign that Andrew Carrollton kid who was supposed to be, we're already going there, the next Christian Pulisic. So my money is on Guardado.
One thing I'd say about that, too, is Guardado can play like five different positions well. So he could be a guy.
The rest of the squad,
unlike Pirlo or Lampard or Villa, where it's like, this guy has to play.
And whether you have a coach or not, you sign Andres Guardado if you could get him, because any coach who's worth a damn is going to be thrilled to have Andres Guardado.
I feel like he's going to make a ton more money in MLS, too. In the Eredivisie, I mean, the money is just not huge there. If he goes to Atlanta, he comes into Arthur Blanc, I mean, they're going to write a big check for him. So I think there's no doubt Atlanta makes splashes in the DP market for sure. Andres Guardado, perhaps a good call. Hey, that's all we've got here for this show. Watch MLS this weekend. Let us know what you think. With that, we will see you on Monday.
You're listening to Extra Time Radio.